Hi, Stephen. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm feeling really good. The Christmas rush is kind of roosh. The Christmas roosh is roosh
Christmas rush.
has died down a little bit at work. So just feeling excited again now for Christmas. And yeah, I'm feeling good. How about you?
That's definitely a sign that we've done way too much Ring of Honor lately.
Yeah.
You're beginning to put Ring of Honor wrestlers into everyday life. In maybe four shows too many with these previews and reviews. Yeah, I'm fine. Okay, then. So going into the show. Oh, okay. Some news to talk about first of all straight away is a couple of wrestlers have finished up with Ring of Honor this past weekend. First of all, the now former ROH World Television Champion Shane Taylor, after the match of the night final battle, he left on a huge high. What did you make of this, Stephen? Make of this, you know, gap in ROH.
I think it's a huge gap. What's going to have to be filled. I was a huge fan of Shane Taylor. He worked his way up the Ring of Honor ladder. Was a great TV champion. We saw that at final battle against Dragon Lee, you know, yeah. And his previous matches as well, like when he faced Joe Hendry and his other defences, which weren't on the TV show, but I've seen a few online. Just yeah. A great character, great interview. And I hope you always want people to, you know, go on to better things or future yeah. opportunities. So, you know, I hope he's able to, you know, grow from his experiences in Ring of Honor. But it is a gap which will be need to be filled, and he'll be missed by me definitely on the Ring of Honor roster.
Yeah. For myself, obviously, it's been just over with episode 6, wasn't it, that we've just finished?
Yeah.
So, yeah, just about 6 weeks going into our 7th week this Monday. So I haven't seen a lot of Shane Taylor, but what I have seen is he can talk you into the building. And in the match with Dragon Lee, he just impressed the hell out of me. It's an incredible match. And like I said, he left on the highest of highs. And I'm sure with his talking ability and his wrestling ability, he won't be a free agent for long. Not quite sure where he'll turn up. But yeah, he's got a lot going for him. And yeah, what a great way to go out.
Yeah.
And the other departure from Ring of Honor is a long-time Ring of Honor veteran, legend, OG, Mr. Boom Boom himself, Colt Cabana. What do you make of this one, Stephen?
Again, it's a big loss for the roster and for the company. I mean, again, we saw what Colt Cabana can still do in the ring at final battle against Alex Shelley, and we saw what he did on the TV show in that great 6-man tag. And he's great on commentary. You know, he's just got such a great colour commentary voice and a presentation to him. And him and Ian Riccaboni were such a great commentary team for Ring of Honor. Yeah. They just meshed so perfectly after the Kevin Kelly and Nigel McGuinness duo. You know, it just was a perfect combination. So again, it's a big loss for the company, both on a vocal standpoint and an in-ring standpoint. But again, you want people to go on to future opportunities and to, you know, be able to find them, to be happy and to be able to find new chances and opportunities. So I do wish him all the best in his future. How about you, Oliver?
Yeah, don't say future endeavours.
yeah.
yeah, I think, you know, he said in like previous interviews and stuff that he was looking for more work with New Japan. So He's been doing quite well there. So, you know, best of luck to him. But yeah, he is somebody that would have been a cornerstone of the revival of the ROH pure title.
Yeah.
Didn't take us that long to get in this time. No, he is, you know, Shelley, Cabana, Gresham. You know, we need a few more people, but those three people could definitely start the division. He's got like an effortless wrestling style. He just makes it look so easy to do, you know, the complicated like British wrestling techniques that he picked up, you know, over the years and stuff. And like you said, I didn't hear that much of him on commentary, but he is so animated and, you know, he's got such a great voice that I have no doubt that he would be a great color commentator with Ian Riccoboni being the main play-by-play. So, yeah, just wish him all the best in the future. And it's another huge loss for Ring of Honor. And the thing for me is, okay, that's your loss is who you're going to bring in to replace them. So let's just kind of, not necessarily a fantasy book, but we've lost two guys here. You've got two guys, you know, on the top of your brain there, Steven, that you think you can bring in to replace these two gentlemen. Or they give you not much time to think about it. So we come back to this later on the show.
We could do. Well, I'm thinking about it, if you like. Yeah, well, good question.
As long as we can remember it, yeah, we'll come back to this.
Good question.
Yeah, so going into Final Battle Fallout, the first thing was Villain Enterprises coming to the ring. Mighty Skrull saying he's going to address the elephant in the room, which are his brand new sneakers, hint, hint. But really, it is the fact that he was on NWA Power Into the Fire to confront the NWA World Champion, Nick Aldis. But yeah, that was quite funny by Marty. And then he did a great job in throwing it back to PCO, the new ROH World Heavyweight Champion. First time PCO spoke, he didn't really get to say too much because he was interrupted on the screen by Kenny King, by Roosh, first of all, the former ROH World Heavyweight Champion. Then by Kenny King and his valet, I believe, Amy Rose. And then by the new ROH World Television Champion, Roosh's brother, Dragon Lee, in this new faction, which I'm going to throw to you, Stephen, because... we're not very good at pronunciations, and I hope better than me. It is Los Engobles La Fashion, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was out of left field once again, in terms of contract situations, because of losing the ROH World title to PCO, I was going to say Roosh then. It seemed like Roosh's contract was up in the air. But to come back the next night with this new group, we believe that's been sorted because I don't think they would have gone this way. What did you make of this whole situation? Because I didn't ask you at this moment. So I'm going back to Mighty Skrull and then leading into this new faction, Stephen. What did you make of it all?
I thought that Marty's promos always in Ring of Honor and around where he's been wrestling and he's given interviews, I thought it was a great promo. It was amusing. I found it amusing about his trainers after he'd been at NWA Power. And it was interesting to hear PCO finally talk on the mic because I've actually not heard him speak that much. I have heard him, you know, sometimes out of character being interviewed, but I thought it was interesting to actually hear his voice in the ring, so that was a nice little touch as well. And the faction, I don't know if you're the same, Oliver, or not, but Ring of Honor always seem to have this tendency where they seem to just bunch people together to sometimes give them relevance, and it's like factions for factions' sake, and factions being factions, and it's not a bad thing. They're not a bad faction by any means, but yet I didn't see how relevant it was in the grand scheme of things at the moment. I could see the Roosh and Dragon Lee thing due to the family situation, but the Kenny King thing kind of baffled me a little bit, especially considering his the night before he'd been wrestling Rhett Titus, and I felt like that was the start of it. Could be the start of something, but it just felt kind of a bit odd.
He's going to join Villain Enterprises.
Yeah.
he's not. But no, I can see where you're coming from. I think it all makes sense until they realise they've got to fly three guys in instead of one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just and then just to go back to Marty for a second. I'm sure you're the same ilk in this situation, Stephen. Considering he was on Into the Fire, he's got to have signed maybe a non-exclusive contract to end his time in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I'd say so. Something around, you know, a bit like the WWE UK talent where they're able to still work, you know, Progress and some of the UK indies as well as... you know, working WWE, NXT UK, like it must be what that kind of a contract he's got where he works Ring of Honor, but he's also able to work in, you know, the NWA. And they have had a relationship in the past. And I know it was left on good terms, the relationship between the two companies.
Was
so,
there kind of a view between them, didn't they?
Yeah.
Back in April, I think.
Yeah.
But the only thing I'd say about that situation is they're kind of not too far away from being on the same level.
Yeah.
Because of, obviously, the money that's been poured into both companies and what they're trying to do. So, no, it's interesting. We can go straight into the show from there. So, we've talked about this off air, so I'm going to say this before we talk about the first match. Based on what we saw at Final Battle with Mexi Blood against Villain Enterprises of Flip Gordon and Mighty Skrull, considering the fast pace aspect of this match, I really believe that Flip Gordon against Rey Harus should have started this show to pump up the crowd in a good way. Not because, you know, Flip Gordon's like an opening match kind of wrestler, but just his style is very pump up the crowd. And maybe that might change because of this new mercenary character, but from what I saw at Final Battle, I think him and Rey Harus should have started this show. Do you agree or disagree with that, Stephen?
I completely agree. I think they should have had a strong opening match. Not that Mark Haskins and Halloween Kid wasn't a strong match at all. It was a great match. But, you know, something which was fast-paced and energetic and, you know, high-flying to get the crowd pumped up. And it was Rey Harus's debut in Ring of Honor as well. And I feel, you know, with it being the ECW arena and things and Philadelphia, there was a bit of, you could have added a little bit of extra sort of stock to it as well. And it could have, you know, helped the crowd along. So I do agree.
Like, this was very technical. Mark Haskins against Halo Wicked, which is right up mine and your street. Obviously, a really, really good, strong, technical wrestling match. I just would have put it later in the card. And that's a testament to both guys, really. If they can go to later in the card and still really impress, which they would have done with this match. Really good technical wrestling match, which I'm not sure if I've seen from Haskins before, really. Going back to his time in the Leaders in British wrestling, and then obviously his time in TNA as well. I don't think, I've never seen him wrestle a technical style, I don't think.
Yeah.
So it was really interesting to see this. And from like Halo Wicked's perspective, he's obviously from Shikara, so he's got that kind of lucha libre technical wrestling aspect to him, which I was kind of aware of going into this match. A really good start to the show, but probably would have put Flip Gordon, Rey Harus in this position and moved this one up the card. That's all I'd say. What did you make of this match, Darren?
I thought it was a really strong technical, a beautiful technical match. You know, it was great to see Hallowicked again. I've not seen him for a long time, and you know, his look and his people from Chikara always have brilliant costumes and brilliant attires, and you know, it was just great to see him sort of in his latest evolution, you might say, of his look from seeing him in the past. And Haskins, look, this is the kind of match I wish that Haskins would have had at Final Battle, just because it's something different, like you were saying, to what I've seen him have in the past. And it shows just what how good a wrestler he actually is, rather than the whole hardcore style that he was doing against Bully Ray, which isn't my cup of tea. But yeah, I thought
But you can understand it when he's you know, protecting his wife and stuff.
Yeah.
What would you do in that situation? You would want to fight somebody, wouldn't you? So
yeah,
it made sense from a storyline perspective.
Yeah.
Going forward, I think this is the Mark Haskins we want to see, isn't it?
Exactly. And yeah, I just thought it was a really strong technical match, and a lot like the, you know, again, two, it felt very much like a pure match as well, in a different sort of sense, in that it was just very, it wasn't technical in the sense of the Alex Shelley, Jonathan Gresham sort of catch style, but it was sort of like you just said, the RVD and Jerry Lynn style of sort of hybrid, the Lucha Libre aspect, and the sort of, because obviously Hallowicked was trained by
that, minus like chairs and stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It was sort of the TV, maybe even before RVD and Jerry Lynn, sort of the Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko, Too Cold Scorpio style, maybe. But no, it was really good. Really enjoyed this match.
Maybe these could be two additions to our ROH Pure Title division.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely.
There was a video package for Meter showing what he can do next, which we saw on the previous night in an amazing match, tagging with Bandido against Villain Enterprises. This leads us into the next match, which is the Women of Honor match between Sumi Sakai and the debuting Nicole Savoy. This was really good, which is
what we
kind of suspected reading about Nicole Savoy's pedigree, that this could be kind of under the radar as one of the matches of the night. This was a tremendous match.
Yeah.
And would have been on my match of the night kind of poll on Twitter, where you kind of get three choices and I always leave the other one open, so like other. But I thought this was really good.
Yeah.
Great way to debut in the company. Somebody you need to build the Women of Honor division around in Nicole Savoy. And
yep.
And obviously, Sumi Sakai is a great person to have in that division. Another few women of the same kind of standard. And yeah, you can get this division off the ground if they're really serious about building it. What did you make of this match, Stephen?
Same as you. I thought this was a really strong women's match. I found Sumi Sakai, she's one of those wrestlers where she isn't, depending who she's facing in the ring, she's either very good or not very good, in my opinion. But against Nicole Savoy, they both just clicked. And it was just a really strong women's match. And I know that the Women of Honor division has had a lot of criticism put to it. But this weekend, we got two very strong women's matches with four very strong, you know, female wrestlers who could, you know, build the Women of Honor division back up after the situation with, you know, Kelly Klein. And, you know, it was a really, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was, again, it was technical. It was hard hitting. Yep. It was, the crowd were into it. It was great. I thought it was just really, really good. And I didn't expect it to be just as good as it actually was as well. So it was a bit of a pleasant surprise as well, just how good it was.
The Allure ran out and attacked both ladies. Angelina Love calls out Maria Manic. in a very crass way. She comes out, she beats her down, and then we have Bully Ray coming out and chokeslamming Manic through a table. And I think like the craziest part of this is you had Hella Wicked and Mark Haskins wrestle a really good match. You had Nicole Savoy and Sumi Sakai wrestle a really good match. And the biggest kind of response from the crowd was the chokeslam through the table from Bully Ray and Maria Manic. And I was like, what? it's just ridiculous. No, because this is when fans can kind of decide whether a show is great or just, you know, good or really good. And in those matches in the ECW arena, the people in, you know, the wrestlers involved were giving it their all, but I don't know if the fans were. And that's the ECW arena, or, you know, the old ECW arena. So there's no excuse for the fans not to be with it. It's not like it was in the middle of nowhere kind of thing. So, yeah, really frustrating from our perspective of we're trying to get Ring of, you know, we're trying to get people to see Ring of Honor in the best light, and all they respond to is a chokeslam from a man on a woman through a table. So that's frustrating. So, what's going to happen with Bully Ray versus Maria Manic? Do we think that Ring of Honor is going to go the intergender route with this going forward?
I'm just completely baffled by the whole thing. And, you know, I'm just tired of Bully Ray in general. You know, I just want, you know, after seeing Maria Manic the night before, you know, being a complete monster in the Women of Honor division and someone to build around, to then have Bully Ray come along and completely, I'd say, bury her by putting her through a table with a chokeslam. It just didn't do anything for me, and I just felt
because that it's just what is going to happen next.
Yeah,
Maria Manic beats the hell out of him, Ronda Rousey Triple H style.
Yeah,
WrestleMania. Then that'd be fantastic. But if Bully Ray then cheats to win or something, then yeah, I can see where you're coming from. It was just strange. Next up was, and this is probably why matches needed to be changed around, your third technical wrestling match in a row, which is great for me and Steven. And I'm sure we had our popcorn out watching these matches.
We did.
And enjoying them. And in this case, it was one half of the new ROH World Tag Team Champions, the Octopus, Jonathan Gresham with Jay Lethal, against Alex Shelley. The first match they had on the TV, which is a part of our debut ROH TV review, was fantastic. Technical wrestling, catch wrestling, hold for hold wrestling. This started out that way. Competitors got frustrated with it and turned it into a, you know, wrestling match.
Yeah.
And then Gresham catches Shelley in a small package to win the match. So it made sense from a storyline perspective. It made sense from a ring psychology perspective that I can't beat you this way, you can't beat me this way. We're both two of the best technical wrestlers in the world, so we have to do something else to try and win this match. So I think that's how we need to approach it, really, when we're talking about it. And then Gresham gets the win. And, you know, we do win that third match. They've done two out of three falls matches before. Can we possibly have an Ironman match, which has never happened in ROH history? For the ROH Pure title. Shelley says, you know, I just want to adhere to the code of honor, even though Gresham and Jay Lethal, heels in this situation, they did agree to the code of honor. So, yeah, it fantasy booking wise, Lethal cost Shelley this match. Gresham gets his win. Saban comes back. And then the Motor City Machine Guns against Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham going forward in 2020.
Yeah.
But, hopefully Chris Saban's, able to come back at some point in the future, and really, really want to see that match. So hopefully it does. Next up is a commercial of Australian wrestler Slex. His catchphrase is "business is booming." This guy's unknown to me, Stephen.
Yeah,
be completely honest. What do you make of this signing?
I think it's a really exciting signing. Slex has, I've not seen a lot of his work, but the matches I have seen from him down in Australia and Australasia have been really, really strong, and he's bringing another fresh audience, the Australian audience, into Ring of Honor. I think he's a fresh face. He's someone who, may be able to build something around. He's one of those pickups where I wouldn't have expected Ring of Honor to have signed him, but it's interesting, and it shows that they obviously still have an interest in talent pool or talent relationships manager out there, being able to pick up these international independent wrestlers and sign them, so it's interesting.
Absolutely. Next match is Hot Sauce Tracy Williams against Bateman. What did you make of this match, Steven?
I thought it was okay. It wasn't as exciting, or as, it wasn't what I was expecting. I was wanting something, because I know Tracy Williams is such a, it's the whole thing again where we love technical wrestling and we love hard hitting wrestling, and like you said, we've already had three technical matches, so it was good, but I would have wanted something a bit less sort of wacky, and the interference and all that. It detracted from it for me. And Bateman already, again, as we were saying about the whole stables thing, although him and Vincent could make a good tag team, it's like, I also want Bateman to come in on his own, come as part of his own sort of stead, rather than immediately be linked up with Vincent. Although I said on the previous episode that it might be a good thing, I'm also kind of a bit hesitant.
A good thing.
It was okay. But it was not as good as the previous three matches for my taste. How about you?
Yeah, like yourself, I think in this situation, based on the booking so far up until Final Battle, Bateman needs to be a part of something. I'm not sure if he can lead right now.
Yeah.
So him being with Vincent, and I think that kind of works really. And like you said, Tracy Williams is a good person to wrestle a match against. And then obviously by getting the win, he improves his standing in ROH, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So, and after this match, there's a female kind of circus, carnival kind of lady, along with a carnival kind of clown kind of situation, I would imagine. And they join Bateman and Vincent, and he says, "Do you dig what what I'm saying, man?" Which is pretty cool catchphrase. But he's, and then he introduces the Ring of Horror, which is pretty interesting, completely against Ring of Honor's ethos. Yeah, so that's really interesting just to see. But I think Bateman and Vincent can really help each other.
Yeah.
So I'm happy with that. And yeah, in terms of the match and stuff, it's another good match. Just obviously the outside interference.
Yeah.
Is what you wouldn't like, really. The next show is going to be on January 11th. Nicole Savoy is coming back for it, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
That's who they need to build the Women of Honor division around. And PCO is going to defend his ROH world title in a rematch against Roosh straight away. Happy with this, Stephen?
Yeah, it's great that Nicole Savoy is coming back so soon to Ring of Honor. I hope that she's going to be a regular fixture in the company. And, you know, I mean, with the whole PCO, rematch with Roosh, it could be that, it might not be a clean cut sort of, clean cut sort of match, but saying that, you know, as we were saying on the last show, you know, what sort of rules are there in Ring of Honor world title matches? Like, they don't seem to be many.
I want to see another one of those kind of matches that have already taken me out of the game by doing that.
I think it'll be good. And it'll be interesting to see in terms of a storyline perspective where, especially with the faction situation, where it's going to lead to, although I'm not a massive fan of factions against factions in Ring of Honor, but I can see something like that kind of taking place with this match. So again, it's exciting and interesting to see what's going to come.
Yeah. You've had a bit more time to think about the two stars, Stephen. You got an idea you want to go with, or do you need a little bit more time?
No. If there were two people I'd like to sign, Luke Harper, aka Brody Lee. There's a wrestler called Alex Solliers, who works for Championship Wrestling from Arizona, who's not well known on the full scene. I'd definitely say for people to check his work out, because he's got a sort of Kevin Steen style to him. So yeah, definitely Alex Solliers is someone I'd love to see. So how about yourself then, Oliver? Who would you pick?
I would sign up Nicole Savoy straight away.
Yeah.
And rebuild this Women of Honor division. And my other one is somebody I saw on the BBG wrestling website. So that's a nice plug for the lads. showing that he's still wrestling. Don't know what his contract situation is, but another person you can use to build the pure wrestling division, Timothy Thatcher.
Yeah.
That would be my two. Okay. Moving on to the next match, which wasn't announced beforehand. It was the Briscoes, Mark and Jay, against the guys with the best tag team name ever. Two guys, one tag. But yeah, no, they're allowed to be called whatever they want because they're amazing. Two guys, one tag. Last Real Man, Silas Young, and Josh the Goods Woods. Yeah, this was number one contendership for the ROH World Tag Team titles as well.
Yeah.
Do you recall that being the case?
I don't know. I mean, that I think that was just suddenly announced as well. But, you know, if you were going to get Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham into, you know, a match with Silas Young and Josh Woods, that, you know, two guys, one tag have definitely... you know, earn it from what they've done in the ring and what we've seen. So,
and they beat Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham before, haven't they?
Yeah.
During their undefeated streak.
Yeah.
7-0. So, yeah, this was a huge win for two guys, one tag.
Yeah.
Really interesting that Gresham was shaking hands with Shelley about half an hour to an hour earlier. And now, you know, they're interfering in the match to cost the Briscoes the match. But that kind of keeps the Briscoes away from Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham, because obviously they've lost this number one contenders match. it gets two guys, one tag into that situation, and then the Briscoes are going to be a part of it. So, yeah, really, really interesting future for the tag division, I feel.
Yeah, completely agree with that. And once again, it was just another awesome match from, you know, two guys, one tag. They're just, again, one of those teams where they're just two guys who just have perfect chemistry together and bring the best out of each other as a tag team. And the Briscoes are always, you know, entertaining and able to bring out the best in whoever they're in the ring with. And yeah, I thought it was a really, after all the matches we'd had beforehand, single matches, I feel it was a really strong tag team match at the right time in the show. I thought it was really, really good, and a match I would definitely say for people to go and check out.
Yeah. So, like I said, it's the it's probably the pinnacle of two guys, one tag up until this point, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the Briscoe did a great job in getting them over.
Yeah.
Really strongly.
Yeah.
And obviously the interference doesn't do too much to hurt the Briscoes.
No.
Although they could have lost this one clean and there wouldn't have been any issue, would there?
Not at all. I feel that
two guys, one tag have been represented and produced.
Yeah.
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 Now we get to the semi-main event, which should have been the opening match. the mercenary Flip Gordon of Villain Enterprises against the debuting Rey Harus. What did you make of this match, Stephen?
I thought it was good. It was not as exciting as I was expecting. Rey Harus, I've seen some of his work in PWG, and I've seen, you know, some of what he can do. And it was a good match, and it was fun. But I don't know, maybe, like you said, if it had occurred earlier on in the show, then it might have, you know, stood out a lot more, and it might have got me more, you know, excited. But it just wasn't as good as I was expecting, and I was disappointed that Ray didn't actually win, given that it was his debut. I can kind of understand why Flip Gordon won, but ideally I would have liked to have seen Rey Harus, as it was his debut, come in, especially as he signed a contract with the company, come in and win a really strong match against Flip Gordon, who was an established star. But it doesn't always go that way, so you've just kind of got to, you know, accept it. But yeah, it was good, but not what I was expecting. How about you?
Yeah, like you said, it's a good match. I wonder, based on where it was on the card and the fact the main event's next, you know, would have told to wrestle a good match as opposed to anything more.
Yeah.
I just look at this, and we're six matches into the card. So if we were to book this in a different way, let's see if we can do it ourselves. Flip Gordon, Rey Harus starts the show. Are we in agreement with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So that starts the show. What match would you have put second out of the six that we've said so far?
I'd have probably have put Bateman and Tracy Williams second, if it was me. Okay.
Yeah, Bateman. Okay, I can see that. What's going to go third?
I'd put Nicole Savoy and Sumi Sakai third.
Yeah.
And then
okay. I'll that one.
Put Silas Young and Josh Woods and the Briscoes fourth. And then, as Gresham and Shelley were so strong on TV to help momentum.
I disagree with this. I think you've got to put Hala Wicked and Mark Haskins fourth. The tag title, tag team number one contenders match fifth, maybe.
Yeah.
And then Gresham Shelley as the semi-main.
Yeah.
Possibly, because obviously the technical matches being one after the other.
Yeah.
That kind of splits them up. And then obviously go into the main event, which is match number seven. But I think that would have been a better way to produce this card.
Yeah.
Like I said, we are huge fans of technical wrestling, and we've had three of those matches back to back. And all of them were good, or really good, for different reasons. So it's nothing against the talent involved. It's just this is the one card out of the two that we've seen this weekend that probably needed to be changed around. Much like the two hardcore matches, one after the other, from Final Battle, if we had have really gone into that, that probably needed to be changed too. So we're just, you know, we're just thinking from that kind of headspace, really. I just think that really the Flip Gordon Rey Harus match, if it had been first, I think it would have pumped up the crowd, even though, you know, Flip Gordon's refusing to do like flips and high flying and stuff since turning heel.
Yeah.
But I think Rey Harus would have made up for that. And like Flip Gordon grounds him, but you keep on, you know, giving Rey Harus opportunity to fly, and then the crowd's on the feet, and then you kind of put the card together around that. But yeah, that's just a little thing that me and Steve wanted to add in, because I think in this show it needed to be rearranged, and I think it would have been better if so. But it's one of those. To the main event, the ROH World Six-Man Tag Team Champions, two of ROH World Champion PCO and Mighty Skrull, with Destro versus the Hawaiian Juggernaut, Jeff Cobb and Dan Maff. This was, you know, balls to the wall kind of action.
Yeah.
I love the way Marty was kind of slap somebody and then run away, which I thought was quite cool. I don't think he was worrying about his trainers at this point. So that was quite cool. He would run away and basically say to PCO, tag him in and stuff. Yeah, Cobb and Math had a bit of miscommunication as well, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that might lead to their second match down the line, which would be fantastic if it happens. Yeah. And the ending comes from a burning hammer, which is counted into an inside cradle by Mighty Skrull, which once again throws us our hands up in the air, saying he got pinned clean on the pay-per-view to win clean on the ROH tour shows in the space of 1 weekend, while also appearing on NWA Into the Fire. And we're like, okay, we got no idea what's happening with Mighty Skrull, but this is a guy that's made himself in wrestling.
Yeah.
The more power to, because he come up with a villain character and he's come up with everything around it. So, yeah, whatever you do, Marty, you've got our full support, I think.
Absolutely.
Sure you agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, that's kind of the end of the show. We didn't see Crowbar, so we hope he's a part of the ROH television tapings. But I was really disappointed to not see Crowbar, so I hope he is part of the ROH television tapings. And it should be interesting to see what the TV tapings are going to be, going forward. And we'll cover them on the ROH review on Mondays at some point in the future.
Yeah.
What did you make of this card overall, Stephen?
I thought it was a really fun 2.5-hour show. A lot of really fun matches, some interesting storyline developments. I like how some of the talent who were on Final Battle got to appear on Fallout, like Tracy Williams and, you know, Sumi Sakai and Nicole Savoy. And I thought it was, you know, the crowd again could have been a bit better, like in terms of their interaction and stuff. They were into it, but they weren't great. I don't know. It's just the way they are at the moment, Ring of Honor crowds. But
it would have been more into the way we produce the card. Or
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's me being modest.
Definitely. But no, just look at that and I'm like, separate these three technical wrestling matches, which will give them more spotlight, and then feed the other matches around it.
Yeah.
Based on what people are looking forward to. And obviously there was a landslide in terms of what the best match of the night was.
Yeah.
So you'd have that as far up the card as possible, wouldn't you?
Yeah, Absolutely.
So yeah, for myself with this card, good wrestling, top to bottom, really consistent. No bad matches. Obviously, some strange situations with regards to Bully Ray and Maria Manic and Bateman's new kind of group. Well, sorry, Vincent's new kind of group, bringing Ring of Horror to Ring of Honor, which is going to be completely new. Yeah, it's going to be completely new and out there, which is going to be really interesting going into 2020. Select's coming in, this new guy, so I'm looking forward to see what happens there. Looking forward to Alex Shelley versus Jonathan Gresham, number three. Hopefully, they get the opportunity to wrestle for, like you said, the pure title in an Iron Man match. Although I think if they were going to do that for the first time, it'd be the ROH World Title, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So yeah, the really good consistent card, probably better consistent in ring wise than Final Battle itself. You know, we said about Shelley and Gresham being match of the night, and that's how it was. I would say, I think that's probably the best match of the night, even if you know, we liked the first one a little bit better. Yeah, the critics wanted ROH to knock it out of the park on both of these shows. But for ourselves, we were just happy to have two good Ring of Honor shows, which is what's happened. And you know, lost a couple of key wrestlers. And it's about replacing them with new names and hopefully creating new stars. But ROH, like we mentioned on the Final Battle review, has had to show great resilience in the past. So they'll have to show the great resilience again in the future to carry on forward.
Yeah. As you've said just before, you know, Ring of Honor are such a resilient company over these past 17 years, nearly 18 years, that, you know, I love how they're still bringing in new faces and new... they're still able to bring in new independent talent to the field. Just... and trying new things, and it is always enjoyable to watch a Ring of Honor show. It might not always be the best show, but there's always something enjoyable on them. I never leave a Ring of Honor show thinking, oh, that was rubbish, or oh, that wasn't great. Like, I always see something where, you know, I enjoy it, or I think, like you've just said, a consistent card which is enjoyable to watch, you know, easy watching or whatever. So, you know, they still can deliver. And this weekend might not have been just at the level they needed it to be, but it still delivered a lot. And yeah, I thought it was a really strong weekend.
Yeah. And in terms of Oliver versus Stephen part two, Stephen won 5-4. So if for anyone that's keeping count, that's one to me for the final battle and one to Stephen. And we'll keep this going during the rest of the shows that we'll see. We'll always be reviewing the ROH TV shows on a Monday. Just in finishing, you know, I myself am a free-time pro wrestling author, and I've written two books with Ring of Honor in them. The first book is Fans Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. And my other book is A Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare. And they're both available on my Big Cartel, fansperspective.bigcartel.com. And they're available on Amazon, on paperback and Kindle. You can download Kindle instantaneously. And they're available for free on Kindle Unlimited. And for yourself, Stephen, you've got some tremendous articles which I've read, and I'm sure you'd like to promote them, as well as any hate mail for these Ring of Honor reviews. I'm sure you've got a Twitter handle that you'd like to share with all these fans.
And I have. Yeah, so as Oliver mentioned, if you want to send me hate mail and there's anything you disagree with what I've just said on the, you know, the review for Fallout, then you can follow me at SteeJ215 on Twitter. I'm also a member of the Wrestling Estate, so if you go onto Google and type in the Wrestling Estate, you'll be able to find, as Oliver mentioned, my articles about Ring of Honor, as well as various aspects of the industry, as well as my colleagues' articles about WWE, Impact Wrestling, New Japan Wrestling, New Japan, and various other parts of the independent scene. And we also have a weekly roundtable, which we all contribute to about a different topic each week. And you can also follow the Wrestling Estate on Twitter if you use the hashtag, sorry, not the hashtag, the handle at the Wrestling Est, so at the Wrestling EST. You'll be able to follow us and find out about all the different articles which we have coming up, or what we've been working on over the past few months. So yeah, it was great again. Thank you, Oliver.
And for us at BBGW Pod, we have a partnership with Powerslam.tv. They have, unfortunately, no Ring of Honor coverage, but over 6,500 hours of wrestling from over 140-plus promotions, tremendous streaming service. You can have it free for a month on us by using the code BROKENFREE. In terms of my social media, I am at Brumial on Twitter, at Brumial on Instagram, A Fans Perspective UK on Facebook. For the hub of BBG, we are at BBG Wrestling on Twitter. For the main show, it's at BBGW Pod on Twitter. And the website is BBG Wrestling. And yeah, that's everything. Yeah, we'll be back with you on Monday. This is released on Sunday with episode 7 of the ROH TV review. And then we'll be back with the 8th episode of the ROH TV review just before New Year. Thanks very much and good night.
Thank you, everyone, and see you soon.
Bye for now.
Bye. Bye.